This podcast is brought to you by Sales Fuel Hire, a platform to help companies hire smarter and flag 13 toxic employee types. Measure job fit, sales tendencies and motivators, decision-making abilities and empathy levels, and make your next hire your best hire. Try it now on salesfuel.com/hire and use promo code MANAGESMARTER for $50 off your first purchase. Welcome to the Manage Smarter podcast with hosts C. Lee Smith and Audrey Strong. We're glad you're here for discussions on new ways to manage smarter, hire, develop, and retain talent, improve results, and propel team performance to new heights. This is the Manage Smarter podcast.
There are 1,001 ways to engage your employees, and in 20 minutes, we're going to try and teach you at least, I don't know, can we get to 25 of them, Dr. Bob, do you think? Or how many can we pack into this episode?
At least a half dozen.
And there's 1,001 ways to energize employees. There's 1,501 ways to reward employees. Like, my goodness.
Well, we're jam-packed today. Welcome to Manage Smarter, everyone. I'm Audrey Strong, the Vice President of Communications here at Sales Fuel.
And I'm C. Lee Smith. I'm the President and CEO of Sales Fuel.
And so our guest is Dr. Bob Nelson. He's a management and motivation business author of more than 30 books that have collectively sold over 5 million copies. President of Nelson Motivation Incorporated has presented on 6 continents, work with 80% of Fortune 500 companies. One of his titles he's written that we are most interested in talking about today is a book called 1,001 Ways to Engage Employees, Help People Do Better What They Do Best. Welcome, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you for having me. Excited to be with you.
We are too. So what's the number one way to engage employees? I'll put you on the spot. What's your top favorite tip out of the 1,001?
Well, actually, as a category, and the book is 10 categories, the 10 most proven factors that most drive employee engagement and the research-based, and the first one is recognition. And we know with everyone, and especially salespeople, that, of course, money is important, right? But I haven't met a salesperson where recognition wasn't right up with that, you know, mm-hmm. because to be the person that made the goal, to stand up in front of the group, to get the accolades is very important to people, not just the paycheck. And so that's actually, you know, the topic that I was delighted to find that in engagement, because that's the topic I did my doctoral research on. And so I'm very deep in the topic of what is going on with recognition and how to make more of that happen and the importance of making it happen, because, you know, I find that 80% of managers feel that they're pretty good at recognizing people.
And they're not.
More important. I know, and then the reality is only 12% of employees say they get meaningful recognition in a timely manner. So we got a knowing doing gap going on where managers say, yeah, I know my people are important. I'm always trying to, you know, tell them that. And 9 times out of 10, they make a mental note. You know, Jerry made his goal. He's my best guy. He didn't say anything to Jerry. You didn't give him anything. You didn't mention him in front of the group. But he's your best guy until he quits because he's not being recognized.
Well, let's just start right there. So it's like we got managers out there, wherever, that don't have the self-awareness to understand that they're not doing a lot of the things that they need to do or should be doing and to engage their employees. How do you get them to recognize the fact that maybe they're not as engaging as they think they are?
Well, you know, it all starts with self-reflection and getting that message. So we're possible giving them the, I do just ask them, do a simple check with your own group. Next staff meeting, put it on the agenda, recognition. I heard this guy on this podcast, and he was saying that 80% of employees feel overworked and underappreciated. 80%. And it got me thinking, are we doing enough recognition in our team? But it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what you think. So shut up and see what they say. And if you have any credibility, I find no one's going to say, boss, I just had up to here with you telling me how good I am. Knock that off.
Yeah, nobody in the history has ever said that.
Exactly. Instead, you can find about the missed opportunities. Well, we said we were going to celebrate after we made the team goal, but actually what happened is it rolled into another project, another goal, maybe two projects, and we never celebrated. So, you know, why? What can we do about that? You know, and find out and find out. So you could do it as a group activity. You could do it one-on-one, and you should do it one-on-one. Ask people, you know, Jerry, you're my best person. And I'm not sure I tell you that enough, but what would really do it for you? You know, what, how can I thank you for the great job you've been doing? Check in with them and see what, and I find some managers don't want to do that because they're afraid they're going to say, well, they're going to ask for more money. And maybe they will, but in my experience, and I've done this hundreds of times across the country, around the globe, people don't say money is number one. They say, when it comes to recognition, how do you feel here? It's a personal thank you from someone I hold in high esteem. Mm-hmm. The VP called me out of the blue and said, wow, I heard you made your goals. Way to go. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's the topic of dinner with your spouse or your significant other. That's big. That's big.
Even
time.
Better it's, if it's in writing. You. Yeah, if it's in writing, it's even better. And I would also add to what you're saying there, Dr. Bob, is that, you know, if you're going to have that conversation, you're going to ask that question, you got to be ready to do something with the answer, because you will lose credibility in a heartbeat if you throw it out there and you have a meeting and you have a discussion and people bring their ideas to you and everything like that, and then nothing ever changes. Yeesh.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you do it as a group and you collect information, then prioritize those ideas, and you got to do the first one and then the second one. If you don't take any action, then you're not being a manager, you're abdicating, you're just going along for the flow. So you got to make things happen for your people. So in my research, I found did a 3-year study of managers about why they do or don't do this, you know, deep dive. The top reason as to why they don't is they don't know how to do it well. It's a blind spot for a lot of managers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't part of their upbringing, you know, followed by they didn't think it was as important as evidence reports. This is the most powerful driver of performance known to mankind. You get what you recognize, you get what you reward, what you incentivize, what you follow through on, you will get more of, hands down. And so they don't realize it's as important. The greatest management principle in the world, actually, it's been called. And then of course, they're busy. And who has time to do things they don't think are that important to begin with, right? So it's a catch-22. So you got to get inside their head and reframe their mental model of management and say, if you're, I don't care what you're hired for, maybe, you know, purchasing, or you're a sales leader, or whatever it might be, if you're managing people, that's got to be job one. And so you can't just be a working manager doing tasks. You've got to actually do the management thing, which means connecting with people, getting to know them, thanking them in a timely manner when they've done a good job, not just to be nice, but when they've displayed desired behaviors, core values, teamwork, whatever it might be for your company, or results. And to do that on a timely, specific basis as soon as possible. The sooner you reinforce it, the sooner you notice, the more you reinforce it, the better it lasts. If you wait too long, you kind of miss the boat, and you wait. I know some managers will wait that, you know, a couple months. Hey, good job on that project. What project? You know, so then you're sending a message that you're not connected with the person. You're out of sync with what is important to them.
So I think managers, particularly sales managers, will spend the time or find the time if they can feel like it has a direct correlation to revenue. So here's something that a couple things from your book. You quoted human resources consulting company Willis Towers Watson. 4 out of 5 workers are not delivering up to their full potential to help their organization succeed. 4 out of 5. That's believable. And yeah. Our friends over at Gallup say that organizations that are able to create a culture of engagement say that they have employees are 480% more committed to helping their company succeed.
Yeah, this is a big return on it, because it's a human nature thing. You know, it's not utilizing, you know, maximizing the utilization of equipment or something. That's a finite thing. Tapping into the human potential. And you know, I like to say that motivation is not lighting a fire under people. It's lighting a fire within them. You know, and that's what this topic is about, is getting to know the person, find out what does it for them. And it's different for everybody. And then delivering on that when they do a good job in response to what they've done, and that reinforces they're going to do a better job next time. And not only does it do it for the person you're recognizing, but you send a message to everyone else that saw you do that or heard that you did it. this is what gets noticed around here. And they will fall more likely in line to make their goals. You know, so, you know, again, take a sales as an example. It always slays me when a company has a sales goal and the you know, top salesperson takes off, trip to Hawaii, you know, and everyone else is going, yeah, okay, great. You know, and what does that do for the second and the third and the fourth highest salesperson? Don't do, you know, one person gets the
steak
gets
knife
the thing and everyone else, you know, gets a pizza, you know. you gotta do it. So maybe set up the goal where everyone that exceeds 20% over last month or last quarter's goal, they get the bonus. They get the whatever it is and do something that they all can get. And then you really want to work it. Give them something that they can give to other people that have helped them make that goal. The sales support people, they're always left out, you know. Well, the salesperson's in Hawaii, we got it here, we're working harder, you know. See if we'll help them next time. But give them some gift cards to pass out to people as thank you. Hey, have them pull their group together. Say, I couldn't have made this without your help and do a celebration with them. Give them the resources to make that happen.
It's a fantastic idea. It's like, you know, I ride every year at an event called Pelotonia, and it's a 100 to 200 mile bike ride that we raise money for the James Cancer Hospital at the Ohio State University. And what they did for us, for all of us riders, they give us these wristbands, you know, and they give us three of them, and we're supposed to pass them out to the volunteers that have made the most impression on us as far as ways that they've helped us during this long journey that we have. And it's like, and the volunteers love getting those wristbands.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, we love giving them out. So I think there's, you know, this, it's simple, something simple, doesn't cost a lot of money, big impact.
Probably a 30-cent item, but it's symbolic. And that's, and then the personal connection of who gave it to them. I'm sure some of them kind of collect them, see how many people they can give them. And that's a good example. It's a multiplier effect. So you could do recognition and do that well, but then if you think about it, I've never heard of recognition. There's not a way you can build onto it, make it a bigger thing. You know, I was working with Hewlett Packard, and they had a, I heard the story that the senior salesperson burst into his manager's office. He said, "You won't believe it. I made that goal. I've been working on it for a number of weeks." And his manager gave him a banana from his lunch, saying, "Great job, I knew you could do it." You know, kind of spur of the moment type thing. And as silly as that sounds, it wasn't silly to the guy that got it. He showed everyone the banana the boss gave him and why. It took on the story to getting that in that division, Hewlett Packard.
Had it gold plated and it was, put a plaque on the wall.
It's the most prestigious award for
it's excellence. The Golden Banana Award.
Exactly. So anything can be recognition. It's not the thing, it's the act. And I you know, every time I talk, people come up and they tell me what's worked for them. I remember this woman told me, she said, my boss took a spark plug and spray painted it with gold paint, put it on a piece of yarn, and in front of the whole company said, "Betty, you add a spark around here that makes all our jobs easier," and gave them this, again, kind of that silly thing. She's had her jewelry box for 18 years. She thinks of it often. You know, it feeds her motivation that what I'm doing does matter, and it matters to the people I'm doing it with.
Is there a recommended, so this sounds like it should be like a best practice line item in the budget for the year. So is there a percentage of spend that you recommend? I mean, I know it's a different startup and a Fortune
500. There is actually.
What's the formula?
Average going rate is 1.5% of payroll. So whatever you're spending on payroll, that should be a recognition budget.
Okay.
That could be, you know, for celebrations, it could be for gift cards. It could be for, you know, weekend getaways with your spouse or out for dinner. It could be companies that really do it right. They move to a point where they have a recognition platform software where they, like a Facebook, where they can do public feeds and people are recognized publicly. And
do it in your Microsoft Teams, do it in Slack.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can give people points for, you know, the foundation of this topic is behavioral. So sometimes people get caught up and say, "Well, you know, I've got to spend money on it." You can spend money on it, but behavioral is doing the action, which means taking the time and putting in the work to get to know people and know what's important to them. I define engagement basically as the alignment of personal aspirations with company objectives. And if you make that happen, that's where the magic happens. If the job for the company is getting done, but within that, the person is achieving their goals and where they're trying to get to in their career. And so that means you got to talk to them. And the second chapter of my book is around career development, a very important aspect for engagement. And so I'd say even from the first day of work, when you talk to someone, you say, you know, job one is doing a good job. But beyond that, you know, if you do a good job, I'm going to help you get to where you want to go in your career. And that's going to be my job to help you. We're going to be talking about that, make sure you gain the skills and the exposure and the visibility to put you in line for promotions or new opportunities. Man, someone that does that, you don't leave a manager like that without thinking two or three times, because there's one out of four or five managers that you'll have in your career you'll think is good. And that's a person that you don't want to lose, because they're on your side and they show that through their actions. But my wife she's a technical person. She's a great manager, and you know, been married 47 years, so she obviously has good taste. I know I do. So, but she had last job she left, whenever she had one-on-ones with people, she'd always check in on, you know, what's next for you and where do you want to be, and if that's why don't you go do a project with that department now, and see if that's what you want to do, and if so, then we'll move you there. She had four people promoted last year from under her someplace else. So a lot of managers say, oh no, I've got more work, I got to find someone. She was joyous about that. That's great. She's glad to have them. Have them get ahead, and glad to have a role in making that happen. That's who everyone wants to work for. She had one guy. This is like a 35-year-old guy. Honest to God, when she left that company, he cried. The best manager I've ever had. I can't believe you're leaving. So that's the job of being a manager. Step into it. Live up to it.
Well,
you're
actually
to the people that you're managing, and I find a lot of managers forget that. And they just take it as another job, or they get caught up in their own task, and you know, and they're too busy for the people part, and they certainly don't want to thank them, because then they'll get a big head and they'll ask for a raise. Forget about that. You do the right thing.
Yeah, it's like, so career development is this number two reason why salespeople leave sales teams voluntarily.
There you go. So
number one is chapter three in your book, which is one's immediate manager.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We'll just send people the first three chapters, and we'll be done. Yeah, one's a manager, and all the good or bad, and you know, everyone takes stock. And how many times was the person on my side? How many times did they speak up on my behalf? Did they call me out in a meeting versus embarrassing me? You know, it's people. You know, people wonder when someone quits. They go, God, what happened? Why'd you quit? Well, what didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to quit. They built up to it for the things you've been doing over the last year or two. The time you cut them off and they had that idea, oh, we tried that 2 years ago, it'll never work. Well, maybe it will this time, especially with this person behind it. You know, give them a chance, you know. But the fact that you just cut them off and dismissed them, boy, they noticed that. And all of a sudden they didn't feel as important as the day they were hired. Everyone starts the job excited and potential, but the real job is what happens the next day, day two and day three. And how are you treated? What's the reception? Is your manager on your side? What are the discussions? Is it all just driving you harder to do more work? Or is it looking out for you as well? What tools do you need to do a better job? Talk about a form of recognition. You know, the best forms don't cost anything, but boy, asking someone, you need a software upgrade, a software that would make you more productive? Let me know, I'll get it for you. You know, there's all sorts of, I find that, you know, 80% of managers say they do this. Most employees don't get it. Open your head up to the possibilities. I couldn't have written a book called 1,501 Ways to Reward Employees if it wasn't all around us every day. I pride myself in saying, getting people to see it for the first time and say, you know, there's more here than I thought.
So, you know, I've screwed some of those things up. And I think that anyone who's on the sales will admit that they've screwed it up too. So I think the one thing that's really important here is the willingness to be able to course correct And you got to say, you know what? I'm sorry about that. Or I shouldn't have handled it that way. Or it's like, what I should have done is blank. When, you know, just let them know. It's like, hey, you know, I'm human too.
And for the manager saying, hey, be open and honest, that's important. And to say, you know, you didn't seem that wowed by what I did. Is there something that would work better for you? You know, I'm going to do that next time, you know. It's a journey for each of us to learn. And if you really get it working, you know, you can lean on other managers. I worked last fall with NASA, Johnson Space Systems out of Houston, and they're ranked number one best place to work in federal government. Wow. This is out of 2.3 million employees. Number one. That doesn't happen by accident. So I'm learning for everyone I work with. And one of the things I notice that they do whenever they get a group of managers together is they always take 10 minutes at the end of the meeting to go around the group and ask everyone to share something they've done to recognize someone in their team since we last have been together. Isn't that cool? And then and people, you know, and then you can just feel the energy and the pride rise in the group when they're doing that. And something else happens. People will take notes on each other's ideas. That's a great one, John. I'm going to try that. And so they're learning from each other. Same was true when I worked with Disney for 15 years. They constantly were learning from each other. And they would get together managers just on this topic, because recognition drives everything at Disney, let me tell you. And they would say, and they're already, you know, Walt Disney World in Orlando, they've got 220 different programs and tools to recognize people. So that might sound like overkill. Not to them, it's not, because this drives everything. Customer service, cost-saving ideas, efficiency, everything. And that's why they're Disney. That's why they're so successful. But still, with being as good as they are, they will still on a monthly basis get the managers together and brainstorm what else we can do. This is Disney. Disney figured out in 1954. You know, here's the core values, and they keep driving those, but they're still checking in with people. What else could we do? I was I did a backstage tour of Disneyland in Anaheim, and I remember going to the kitchen area, and there's this whiteboard up, and I'm going, what's this all about? Oh, well, we put up ideas that people want to try for how we can improve efficiencies. I'm going, oh, and this was from Tony. He's a 17-year-old kid. He thought, well, why don't we try this? Let's put it up. Let's try Tony's idea. Have fun with it. I was just so blown away, because Disney figured it out in the 50s, and they haven't changed their values. They're still doing the same thing, but they put a freshness on it with every person. Everyone has a role, and they allow them to be a part of it. And so, even if it's the same idea we tried before, maybe we'll do it a little bit better now, or just the fact that we've acknowledge Tony for contributing is all of it helps.
It's great stuff. That's why they leave the Walt's apartment light on above the fire station at Disneyland, so everybody remembers that Walt's still there. He's sort of a living, breathing.
There you go. Entity. Yeah, he has his apartment.
With the light on in the front window. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been up there. It's kind of fun. It's a really cool.
Very.
The whole organization is very, very cool, and the Disney Magic, happiest place on earth again. Didn't happen by accident.
Definitely. Well, this with chock full of fresh ideas. And I love your website, everybody. It's drbobnelson.com. And all your books are on there. And it's a great website. And it's a resource and a place where we can get your books. So this has been great, Dr. Bob.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on iTunes, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also get more great information at salesfuel.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.